Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left, 23 left. Where? 1, 2, 3.
This is the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Here's Nate Geary.
All right, good evening and welcome to Buffalo Bills postgame here. Nate Geary. The Bills win 31-21 and it didn't feel as good as it probably should have. It was a bit of a nail biter throughout. The Bills offense starting hot, getting cold to start the second half, and the, you know, plucky, do we call them the plucky Dolphins, sticking around in this game until a late mistake by Tua, which has sort of been the MO of this Dolphins team to start this season. And they fall to 0-3. The Bills now 3-0 and starting to give themselves the cushion that they're going to need for the rest of the way this year if they're going to try to secure that one seed. A huge win at home. A lot to get into, a lot to dive into from this game. We'll get to your phone calls tonight as well as you guys leave the stadium, get in your cars, and head home tonight. Please drive safely, of course. The phone number to call is 803-0550, the 716 area code, 803-0550. And you can tweet at me, at Nate Geary Sports, if you'd like to get your thoughts in on the show as well. And where I'm going to start tonight is the infuriating performance by this Bills defense. Now, they gave up 21 points, which, you know, at the end of the day, is enough to win. But some of the issues, to put it nicely, that plagued this defense a year ago that stopped them from making a Super Bowl appearance and losing in the AFC Championship game last year, reared its ugly head once again, not being able to get off the field on third down. But at the end of the game, Terrell Bernard makes the play of the game and gets a huge interception off of Tua. And let me tell you this, it was a play that ends up going in the stat book as an interception for number 8, Terrell Bernard. But on the play, rookie defensive tackle Deion Walker really, to me, makes the play and getting his hands up in the passing lane. And it doesn't allow Tua to see that Terrell Bernard's screaming down and putting himself in a position to make the play and get the interception. So big play by the rookie defensive tackle. They made enough plays when it mattered most. But at the end of the first half, that's kind of where I start with some of the frustrations tonight. And then they sort of bled over into the second half. They did not get to Tua tonight, so no sacks of the Dolphins quarterback. I would say okay pressure all night. Joey Bosa was really the only guy that I saw along that Bills defensive line getting consistent pressure on Tua Tagovailoa. But to me, where's Gregory Rousseau? I mean, this is a player that the Bills, you know, re-signed this offseason, coming off of a good season last year where he started very hot, had a couple of sacks early in the season, and tapered off towards the end of the year. He's never going to be the 12.5, 13 sack guy, but, I mean, just no pressure generated tonight. He is the biggest guy, other than Deion Walker, on the field on pretty much every play, and I just did not notice him enough, not nearly enough tonight. So, you know, them getting off the field on third down, you heard Sean McDermott talking about it going into the half, that they've got to marry their pass rush and their coverage a little bit better. At times tonight, Trey Waite made a couple of really great plays. At other times, I thought the Dolphins really started to pick on him in crossers and on route and concepts where they were forcing Trey Waite to keep up with Jalen Waddle, which is a tough thing to do for the aging veteran who I thought played an okay game, but again, at times was picked on by this Dolphins offense. The guy I'm going to be most interested in seeing over here in the next couple of weeks is going to be, you know, Maxwell Hairston's IR stint is about to be potentially over in a week. He'll have a designation to return if the Bills open his practice window after this upcoming week. He's got 10 more days to recover, and then, you know, there that game next week against New Orleans, and the question will be, can Maxwell Hairston make his debut in week 5? I think they need to get some speed infused into this defensive backfield, especially at the cornerback position. But let's go to Bills captain Terrell Bernard.
Yeah, it's honestly something that we have seen on tape. It's a common route around the league. But, you know, I want to give a shout-out to Al Holcomb, the linebacker's coach. He put it on tape a few times. You know, we've worked that play. Our offense runs that play. And, you know, he basically told me, like, if I see it, go. And, you know, I think they ended up jumping the back, got to, like, a 3-by-1 or a 2-by-2 snug set. And, you know, that's one of the, like I said, it's one of their top quick game concepts. We're in a 3-deep zone, and you know, just saw it and broke on it. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Deion Walker had a great pressure on that play. Do you think that might have, blocked to his vision trying to find you there?
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, I couldn't really see the front, but when I came out to the sideline, I think that was the first thing that Ed told me. He said Deion won quick, and you know, got a pressure and made him get the ball out quick. So you know, it takes a full team effort. You know, it's hard to win in this league every week. That's a good team, explosive offense. So to come out here on Thursday night on a short week and get it done, it feels good.
Last week you guys were perfect on third down. Tonight not as good. What was the difference in the two games?
Yeah, I think just our fundamentals. You know, there's a couple times when you know we have them and we miss a tackle here. He gets out of the pocket. You know, creates a play. So that's really what it comes back down to. I got to go back and watch the tape. I know we weren't great at all on third down, and that was really the emphasis at halftime. You know, we felt like we were winning first and second down, getting them to third and long, and just weren't detailed and you know finishing those drives. So I think coming out of the second half, I don't know what the stats were in the second half, but it felt like we got off a little bit more. But yeah, that's something we'll go back and look at. Like you said, last week, you know, we did really well, and this week it wasn't as good. So, you know, it'll be good to go back and see, you know, the things that we need to get corrected.
Now, did some of the motioning and misdirection kind of neutralize some of the things that you were trying to do defensively out there?
I wouldn't say neutralize it. I think it just, you know, it does create a sense of urgency within the defense. You know, things change, coverages change. When they're moving, but you know that's our job to be prepared for that. So, like I said, man, we'll go back and watch the tape, get some things corrected, and you know grow from it.
Deion Walker's impact throughout the whole game. How was he able to keep you clean where you can shoot gaps and make plays?
Yeah, that's what I said, man. He's made a ton of plays. Even the plays that he's not making, he's causing. You know, so. Shout out to him, man. I know it's tough to come in here as a rookie and to really play to the level that he's played at. And he's a guy that constantly wants to get better, constantly talking to Ed, talking to Big Phil, talking to DQ, those guys up front that have been here for a long time that have done it at a high level. So I got all the respect in the world for him. And like I said, he's a unique guy. He's a big guy, but he's super athletic and, you know, can make plays that people wouldn't assume that he can make. So it's fun, man, getting to work and play behind him. You know, he's been a great addition.
The quick turnaround's always tough on Thursday night games.
Yeah.
The upside is you get the win, and now you have an extended break.
Yeah.
How beneficial is that?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, a few days, like I said, a short week, trying to get all the preparation in, trying to get your body right to get out here and, you know, perform at your best. And then coming out here and getting the win is, like you said, is huge. A couple extra days to really recoup, catch our breath, and go in and you know get some things corrected that we might not have had on a regular week, and have that extra time to really dial in on what we need to do and where we can get better. Do a little self scout and you know move on from there. And the few days helps your body, helps your mind, and you know get you in a new groove.
You guys have implemented a lot more base defensive formations. How do you think that's helped you guys so far?
Yeah, I think it's helped a lot in the run. You know, when they go big personnel, we want to match them. And if they want to try to run the ball and we got our big guys in, you know, I feel like, you know, we have the advantage there. you know, we know Taron can do it. He's done it for a long time. But to have another big body come in and, you know, be able to change some things up and, you know, not be as predictable and not, you know, just be in our same nickel package that we're in most of the time, I think it's been good for us. You know, we've got a lot of guys in the linebacker room that can play good football, you know, Taron included. He's, you know, a semi-linebacker when it comes to that. But, you know, it's been fun. A new wrinkle kind of in the defense. We've done it before, but, you know, doing it a little bit more now. And, you know, I feel like we've been pretty successful in it so far.
Carl, what is it about this defense that just, no matter what's happened the first few quarters of the drive, to be able to come up and make a play and force these turnovers in big spots?
Yeah, I think it's just the mindset. You know, we talk about it all the time. The ball is the most important thing. And, you know, we know it's not going to be perfect. Offenses around the league are good. You know, that's a known fact. But, you know, for us, it comes down to taking the ball away and, you know, especially in the critical moments of the game. So, you know, that's something that we preach and something that we believe in and something that we've been, you know, pretty good at. And, you know, I think that's just the philosophy of who we are.
No Milano, so how instrumental was Shaq Thompson and Dorian Williams out there with you today?
Yeah, it's huge. Me and Dorian have played a lot of football together. You know, I've you know, grown to know him as a player, as a person. So it's cool to, you know, have that relationship and then go out there and be able to play together. And, you know, he, like I said, you know, when Matt's out there, he's coming in the base packages. Matt's down. So, you know, Shaq's coming in and, you know, he's been a great addition. You know, a veteran leader, a guy that's played really good football at a high level for a long time. A smart player and, you know, somebody that I lean on a lot. You know, honestly, he's, you know, one of the guys that I look to the most, you know, getting tips here and there, communication-wise, things that I need to get better at. So having him in the building and being around, man, it's been great.
Plays in the fourth quarter? Like, you know, Chiefs game last year, playoff game against the Ravens. I mean, these are all fourth quarter plays that you're turning in. Are you building up a book on a quarterback through the course of the game where you just read him a half second faster by the time you get to the end? What is it about you in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, the mental part of the game, you know, you learn as the game goes. You know, you get a feel for the offense, you get a feel for, you know, the route concepts as they want to get to, the people they want to get the ball to, certain situations, you know, you have a tell on where the ball is going. And I think that's for all of us. You know, we talk about it all the time on the sideline, the ball. And then, like I said, just building throughout the first few quarters and getting an understanding of what's going on, I think it helps us play a little bit faster. And, you know, once the, you know, the second half rolls around, the fourth quarter rolls around, you know, we feel like we have an idea of what's going on. And, you know, that's that split second is what helps you make plays.
Terrell, how much was the speed of the Dolphins been a challenge for you? You've played them over the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, it's super challenging. You know, they got guys that could take the top off. Obviously, you know, Tyreek and Waddle, but they have other guys, too, that are threats down the field. And so, you know, you got to respect that. But at the same time, we got to still play our style of ball and play, you know, within our system. So, yeah, it's a challenge for sure. But, you know, we do a good job game planning throughout the week and understanding where their strengths are and understanding, you know, what we want to get accomplished throughout the game. So I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to playing them.
As captain of the defense, what have you learned about this team in the first 3 weeks of the season?
I think the main thing is just the relentlessness. You know, you go week one, we're down, it doesn't look good, but, you know, guys keep playing. We're talking about it on the sidelines. Like, all it takes is one drive. And, you know, we come up with a win there. And then you go and, you know, you play the Jets, who's a really good team. And, you know, we feel like we had a really good day. And we stayed on the gas. We didn't let up. You know, we did what we were supposed to do. And then you come, you know, off a short week, play the Dolphins on Thursday night. You know, not a ton of time to prepare, not a ton of time to get your body right. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day. You know, we're going to come out here and you know, work and grind and do what we got to do to put ourselves in the best position. So I think, you know, that kind of sums up, you know, the identity of this team right now. We still got a long way to go, man. It's early in the season, but, you know, I love coming to work with these guys. You know, it's been a blessing. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
All right, there's Bills linebacker Terrell Bernard. It's brought to you by, from the locker room, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We're going to take some phone calls here in just a moment. We're going to hear from Bills quarterback one. We're also going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Before we do all that, we're going to get a quick check of traffic with Trevor Hauer.
Right now, Abbott Road is closed northbound and southbound from Route 20 to Route 20A due to tonight's festivities at Highmark Stadium. Route 20 westbound is closed from Howard Road to Soles Road in the town of Hamburg due to a crash. Route 20A west is also closed from Route 219 to Abbott Road as well. We are also seeing some very slow-moving traffic heading both ways on some of the surrounding roads leaving the stadium, including Big Tree Road, California Road, and Southwestern Boulevard. Your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Score big with new Chevys and quality pre-owned vehicles from Paddock Chevrolet. I'm Trevor Hauer on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Thank you, Trevor. And we will hear again from Bills quarterback Josh Allen coming up here shortly and Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Let's go to the phones and get connected with our fans powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And Johnny kicks us off this evening. Johnny, welcome to the postgame show. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Great game. Go Bills. Question. Why would we accept the penalty on fourth down when they punted when we could have easily have their defense at the two-yard line and have our defense on the field? We have studs out there.
I don't even know where you're going with that one, man. Let's go to Owen. Owen, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
What an idiot. We got a first.
Hey, okay, let's go to Josh. Good start here tonight. Josh, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, Nate, trying to be a little faster than those guys. What's up with the pass rush? Joey Bosa non-existent. Greg Rousseau didn't even see him out there tonight, it seemed like. And it also seems like the offense has just been a little vanilla today compared to what we've seen the past few weeks. What do you think, man?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Josh. Let me start with the defensive side of the ball first. Gregory Rousseau and the pass rush. Yeah, the pass rush just didn't really have a ton of juice tonight. I mean, they miss that Oliver in the middle. He is their most consistent, most... It just creates the most havoc on a consistent basis from the interior. And that's really the pressure that hurts Tua the most. It's especially with how quickly Tua gets rid of the football, how often that offense is built around how quickly he throws the football. You know, especially too, because I don't think the Bills did as good of a job taking away Tua's first read. Now, I thought they did a great job stopping the big play over the top, but this has not been through now three games of the season, a Dolphins offense that really relies on the big play in the passing game like they have in years past. Like the identity, I think you've kind of come to know from this Dolphins team. They just have not had that same success down the field in their passing game. I should stop because we have Bills quarterback Josh Allen at the podium.
Late in the second quarter, going down and make it 21-7. That moment seemed to turn this game. When the second and eighth play failed, the sack, the missed field, did that kind of get things going in the wrong direction there?
Yeah, I think so. Just understand I can't take a sack there and move us backwards. You know, there's a threshold where you're close enough, sacks don't really matter, but kind of in that mid range, moving it back, really puts our special teams in a tougher situation, and that's on me.
So, Josh, you better talk about, it seemed like the offense today was a little hot, cold, just, you know, trying to maintain that rhythm. Was it due to the short work week, or what are you going into?
I mean, they had a good plan today. I thought their offense did a good job of, you know, sustaining drives and really limiting our opportunities. You know, I thought we had opportunities on the offensive side, and we didn't take advantage of some of them. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got the win.
Jackson Haas said that he's already learned early on to always expect the ball with you. What happened on that play when you're rolling out there?
Yeah, just, extending the play, a little naked action. He did a good job of just staying in concert with me and, just got the corner there. I think it was Rasul to just kind of commit one way, and, you know, he stayed alive for me and made a play.
After the TV interception, you know, you got into that penalty situation. How big was the play to Moore, though? Because that enabled you to run it out. Really.
No, that was unbelievable. Smart play, finding a window in zone, giving me good body language. He made some good plays for us tonight. It was awesome to see.
Josh, what have you seen different in James Cook?
I mean, it's to me, it's the same James Cook. The guy just attacks every time he touches the ball. He looks like he's been shot out of a cannon every time he touches it. He's so fun to play with. Wants the ball, ultimate competitor. There's times where I toss it to him, hand it off to him, and I'm just already putting my hands up because I feel like he's about to crib it. And there's two that were real close tonight. real close, and he'll tell you that too. But you know, he's been such a catalyst for our offense. Special player.
Seemed like you wanted to get Dalton involved early. Was that part of the plan based on what they do? Because he was your guy early on there.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to get everybody involved early. You know, there's just some opportunities for him, and he made the most of them. So, yeah.
Josh, you seem to have a comfort zone more so this year than previous years. Is that your growth into the sport itself, just taking what the defense has given you?
100%. I think there's obviously times throughout games where the situation dictates you to – maybe put the pedal down a little bit more. And there's some times where it's like, hey, just take it easy, relax. I wouldn't say play the long game, but just understanding where you're at, you know, within the situation of the game and not trying to force anything. You know, we saw that tonight, just kind of staying as calm as possible, you know, and just being prepared for any situation that we were going to be in. You know, it was going to be either a 2 minute at the end there or 4 minute, and Terrell Bernard makes a fantastic play, and we can be in a 4 minute drill there.
What have you learned about this team in particular in the first 3 weeks of the season?
I mean, you know, we're obviously doing our job, going 1-0 each week. Still a lot to learn from, a lot to grow, a lot of room for growth in this group. A lot of young guys, but guys are stepping up. There's been some guys down with injuries, and guys are stepping up and making some big-time plays for us, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, I mean, it's a close unit that's, you know, gelling together really well right now, and I got to keep finding ways to win football games.
Khalil looked like, you know, first couple weeks working back from that ankle injury, and now today gets his first touchdown of the year. Just how nice is it to get him back in rhythm with the offense?
It's awesome. You know, Khalil does everything the right way, constantly following the ball, constantly being in the right spots. You know, he makes some unbelievable plays for us. You know, and that was a great play, you know, finding a way to get in the end zone there, and we're going to need more of that going forward.
Were you aware that was your 200th career touchdown pass?
I was not. I was not. It's pretty cool. It's my parents' anniversary tonight, too, so it's pretty cool. Yeah.
How'd you get Fitz to take his shirt off?
It was the fans. Yeah. He's a showman. Let's not. Come on now. He knew he was going to do it. He wanted to play hard to get a little bit, but he knew he was going to do it at the end of the night.
I didn't know that was an anniversary present to your parents.
You know what? Yeah, happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. Here's Ryan Fitzpatrick without a shirt on. Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Bills quarterback Josh Allen live from the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. I've got a couple of things here for my guys down in Orlando, Florida. My buddy Tyler McFadden, it's his birthday today. And shout out to my buddy and Buff State quarterback Casey Kaz, who's listening tonight from Orlando. So shout out to those guys. Quickly, I think we're going to stick here and wait for head coach Sean McDermott, even though it feels like I've been talking for like 40 minutes, which is roughly give or take here or there. Let's go back to the phones and get into with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And Anthony's been waiting patiently. Anthony, good evening to you. You're on the postgame show.
How you doing?
Good.
That rough in the kicker, Tony, that's what saved us tonight.
Yeah, if you got nothing else, Anthony, I agree with you. I mean, it you know, and here's the crazy part. It's Zach Sealer. It is their best player, maybe on their entire team, the heart and soul, the captain of that team, to make a mistake in that moment when it, to me, very clearly, the momentum of the game was shifting towards Miami. The Bills' offense just had not really put together consecutive drives. And Zach and I were kind of talking about this like during the game. It just, they had stopped winning on first down, and they started losing some battles up front on the line of scrimmage. They were losing the line of scrimmage a little bit. And I'll tell you, it's, they got lucky. There's no doubt they got lucky at the end of that game. And I agree, Zach Sealer, you know, helped them out quite a bit. Let's go to Adam, who's been waiting patiently. Adam, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Nate, good evening. Enjoying the post-game coverage. Just have a couple points to touch on, if you don't
Shoot.
Mind. Shout-out Fitzpatrick, going shirt off, and shout-out to Josh's parents for the happy anniversary. That's awesome. You know, this is the NFL. The previous callers, let's relax a little bit, okay? It's the NFL. It's always going to be a battle. All right. We are in a great position for the one seed this year. You think about it. Chiefs are 0-2 start. Cincinnati has the Burrow injury. We have the tiebreaker over the Ravens. It's an excellent position to be in, okay? It's a it's a division battle. It's going to be what it is, okay? I mean, the defensive is a concern, but let's breathe for a second, okay? We got to remember, Michael Hoyt's coming back. Yep. Larry Ogunjobi's coming back. If Joey Bosa can stay healthy along with Bernard Oliver.
Max Hairston's coming back, presumably.
Exactly, and possibly Milano. You know, we haven't had to rely on him the past couple of years, but let's breathe for a second, okay? They get a couple stops. Dawkins stay healthy. Josh, this offense is going to get it done. Let's breathe for a second. But final point's going to make, as a JMU graduate, can Amazon stop with the late cut-ins?
Oh, Adam, I know, man. Come on, I know. Man.
This guy, hey, I'm a proud James Madison University alum. Scott Norwood is in our Hall of Fame. Let's respect
nice shout
him,
out.
Okay?
Nice
this
shout
is
out.
2025, not 1991. He means multiple things to different communities, okay? Nate, I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course, buddy.
Come on, let's breathe for a second. The Bills are in a great position. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Adam. I appreciate it. Listen, we're going to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll get head coach Sean McDermott. I have one more birthday shout-out. Amanda Pascarello, my girl. Happy birthday to you. All right, this is the postgame show, and this is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Back to pass. Fires. It's intercepted. Picked off by Terrell Bernard. Coming the other way and out of bounds at the 40-yard line. Terrell Bernard, Mr. Fourth Quarter, comes up huge. He read Tua like a book.
Chris Brown on the call, and that is your New Era signature play of the game. It's brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL. Welcome back to Buffalo Bills postgame. I'm Nick Geary. We're waiting to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. While we do, we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on the postgame. Good evening, Paul.
Hi. I just have a couple questions and comments. One, I think our offense looked like we were vanilla. Just looking at the play calling, just looked vanilla. More importantly, I'm looking at this defense, and everybody says, well, hold your breath, yada, yada, yada. I'm really concerned about this defense taking us deep into the playoffs, and that's my concern I have, and like to hear your comments on that.
Yeah, listen, you know, we talked a little bit about the pass rush struggling to get home tonight, not marrying the pass rush with the coverage. I think at the end of the day, it's a short week. The vanilla game plan on offense, I think that the Bills really thought, their Bills ran a lot of the same plays. We saw, I think John Gruden posted a video this week of the Bills kind of running the same play over and over again with a lot of success last week against the Jets. It was toss, it was inside zone, and that was kind of it from this Bills offense in terms of the run game. And listen, Josh had two attempts over 10 yards. They need, in this game, it worked. They scored 31 points, right, on offense. And defense, they gave up 21. It was the third down defense, though, to me, that was the most frustrating, or the thing that I maybe want to call out the most from this game is just their inability to get off the field on third downs. And third and longs, I mean, on that drive to end the second half, or the end of the first half, I mean, you had nothing going there. But we've got Bills head coach Sean McDermott at the podium.
Good to get a win. Never easy. That was a heck of a game. High-level competition. Dolphins played a real good game, and our guys made a couple more plays. And I thought the grit, the mental toughness of our football team was on display throughout the game, in particular in the fourth quarter there. Deion getting his hands up, Deion Walker and TB making that play, and then being able to seal the game. Good to see in a four-minute offense there, you know, get the yards we needed to put the game away with Matt and Reed and Cam going out there. That's a key situation to be able to put it away right there. And crowd was phenomenal, as it always is. Great to play at home in front of our fans. They're unique, and we love them. Couple firsts. So we've got Jimbo tying the franchise record for consecutive rushing touchdowns. Jackson Hall's in his first NFL touchdown. Great to see the smile on his face. And I already mentioned TB and Matt with the kick there. So a lot to work on. Kind of hit a little bit of a gap there in terms of scoring. Thought we were off to a great start, and then we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit there with the third or fourth drive, and should have come. I thought it should have been 17-7 at a minimum. We missed a field goal, and they went down and scored. So 14-14 and a half, but our guys didn't blink. They were resilient. Coaches did a great job on all three phases, and continued to adjust and make the adjustments we had to make. So with that, time is yours.
Coach, do you feel like you guys effectively started hemming Tua in because they rolled him out maybe more than we're used to seeing, making some plays out on the perimeter, and it seemed like you were able to hem him in a little bit more effectively in the second half?
I thought Bobby and the defensive staff made some adjustments. Still too many third down conversions where he was extending the play more than I would have liked to have seen. And so we got to look at that a little bit more, and same with the red zone. But overall, making a big play like that, I thought defensively we felt like we were playing well other than the first drive. You know, I thought at halftime we were playing well. It was the third downs before the half, and then the third downs really after the half. It continued. But I thought first and second down, by and large, was pretty good. And it's a good offense, right? Explosive. But I thought we gave our offense the ball, getting the ball to the offense. We just couldn't find a rhythm other than the first drive of the second half of an offense. So, but give Joe and those guys credit. I mean, you score 31 points. And you seal the game in 4 minutes for the most part. So that's hard to do.
Sean, you mentioned Deion Walker on the interception play. Think about how far he's come since the draft and the work that he did on his body in the offseason. And then to make a play in crunch time like that, I mean, what does that say about him?
Yeah, that's huge. We always talk about rush and coverage working together. And, that won't show up necessarily in the stat sheet, perhaps. But that could have been as big of a play, even more so than the TBs. I don't want to, kind of grade them against each other. But if he doesn't do that, does the ball, is the ball thrown a little bit, a little bit more one direction than the other? So great read by TB, great rushing coverage example for our players to learn from.
Terrell said that Al Holcomb showed him something like that during the week. And that, how important is that about kind of keeping that in the back of your head, because you never know in the course of a game when you're going to need that?
Well, there's a certain thing we look for, in that style of coverage, and TV saw it, which is growth. Last week we had two examples of a similar type of indicator, and we didn't see it. So that's growth and development. And that's what coaches are here for, and players have done a phenomenal job of being coachable, like TB in particular.
Any health reports at this point, Coach?
Don't have anything for you. No.
Is there anything that Jackson Haas allows you guys to do offensively, being that he's such a good blocker in the run game, and we've seen him make a couple good catches now?
Yeah, it's great when these young players can come in and contribute and earn their spots and their roles. And he's very humble and comes to work every day, extremely tough, hard worker. And it's good to see him contributing in both the run and the pass. So, we'll see where it goes from here.
Sean, you had Dalton make a big block on a play, and then you got Haas making a big catch. So isn't that kind of, that's messing up the narrative there of what these guys are, right?
Yeah. Well, we got to go back and look at that then. We don't want to be too balanced.
Sean, you mentioned the third downs and needing to still look at them from a defensive standpoint. But was there anything to the third and long that was particularly working for the Dolphins and why they were able to convert?
Well, again, what I remember from the game was the quarterback extending some of the plays a little bit longer than he should be able to, and then finding an open receiver, which is going to happen the longer receivers have time to move around. So I think that's something, again, that we have to look at and, continue to kind of tweak to figure out. Past my bedtime, see you guys. Continue to figure out, especially with Ed not being available. So we'll see where that goes in the next week. But we miss Ed inside, and TJ's in there, Joey's out there, Greg's out there, Daquan's out there, and they're getting the quarterback to move. But the rush and coverage just have to time up a little bit better. So but again, I tip my cap to the defense. They played their hearts out. Played hard against a really good offense, and to say, hey, to really be able to kind of shine the light on probably the biggest problem area being that was third down. I mean, last year we only got them in 8 third downs in the second game. I think tonight we had 15 third downs. We had 10 at halftime. So it's closing a team out, closing a drive out, and cashing in those situations. We've got to look at that. right. Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and Sean McDermott's post-game media conference is presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. What we're going to do quickly here is pause 10 seconds for station identification so that the stations along our network can identify themselves. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're saying exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
And before we break, what we're going to do quickly here is get you these Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. For the Bills and Josh Allen in this game, 22 of 28, 213 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 2 sacks, which feels like a pretty monumental number for a guy that never takes sacks. And he finishes with a passer rating of 134.1 on the ground. James Cook, 19 for 108 and a score in this game, including a 26-yard long of a run. Leading the receiving room tonight is Dalton Kincaid, 5 for 66 and a score. Right behind him, 4 for 45 in this game from Khalil Shakir. He also added a touchdown. Elijah Moore with a big first down conversion to sort of seal the deal late in the fourth quarter. He finished the game with 2 for 30. He also had an 11-yard run in the game. Let's take a timeout. On the other side, we'll get to more of your phone calls at 803-0550. We will also get an update on the other side, including traffic. So we're going to get you a traffic update coming up here. We're also going to get you some more player sound live from the locker room. Asel gets to the locker room, and we'll get you some live player sound. I've got eye on the quarterback on the other side. And again, of course, we'll be continue to get connected with our fans, of course, and it's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And quickly, a reminder too that tomorrow on our local station, WGR Sports Radio 550, the flagship of the Bills, we will have Buffalo Bills Football Friday and all live reaction with Sal Capaccio. Chris Brown will join the program, the whole nine, and that will be tomorrow, of course, on our local flagship, WGR Sports Radio 550. Okay, timeout. Again, on the other side, I've got more for you from the locker room and more of a reaction from the Bills. 31-21 win over the Miami Dolphins. This is Buffalo Bills Football.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Contest all throughout the evening. The Buffalo Bills eventually get themselves to 3-0 on the season with a 31-21 win over the Miami Dolphins in a highly contested AFC East battle. Josh Allen, 22 of 28, 213 yards through the air. 3 touchdowns for Allen as well. James Cook leading the way on the ground with 19 carries, 108 yards, and a score of his own, while Dalton Kincaid led the Bills in receiving, 5 catches, 66 yards, and a score. The Bills' defense was tested, struggling particularly on third down. Miami was 10 of 15 on third down tonight. However, the Bills winning the turnover battle once again with a crucial interception courtesy of Terrell Bernard.
Back to pass, fires, it's intercepted! Picked off by Terrell Bernard, coming the other way and out of bounds at the 40-yard line. Terrell Bernard, Mr. Fourth Quarter, comes up huge. He read Tua like a book.
The Bills moving to 3-0 on the season, while Miami drops to 0-3 on the year. What's next for the Bills? Some extended time off before they host the New Orleans Saints on Sunday, September 28th. The Saints playing against the Seattle Seahawks this weekend, trying to win their first game of the year. scores from around the league, delivered by the UPS Store. Be unstoppable. I'm Derek Kramer for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. With a look at traffic leaving tonight from Highmark Stadium, we can go to another man who did not throw any interceptions. Here's Trevor Hauer.
Nate, thank you. We are seeing some very slow-moving traffic heading both ways on some of the surrounding roads leaving the stadium, including Big Tree Road. That is where we are seeing our strongest congestion. California Road as well as Southwestern Boulevard. Abbott Road is still closed northbound and southbound from Route 20 to Route 20A. And Route 20A West is also closed from Route 219 to Abbott Road. Your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Score big with new Chevys and quality pre-owned vehicles from Paddock Chevrolet. I'm Trevor Hauer on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
The crowd was phenomenal, as it always is. Great to play at home in front of our fans. And they're unique, and we love them.
There's Bills head coach Sean McDermott following tonight's 31-21 victory over the Miami Dolphins. 12 of their last 13 games against the Miami Dolphins have been victories, including 10 straight at Highmark Stadium. Welcome back to Buffalo Bills postgame. I'm Nate Geary. We've got a bunch of breaks to get to, but before we do that, we're going to grab another phone call and get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Claire has been waiting very patiently. Good evening, Claire, and thank you for your patience.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was at the game tonight, and it was really striking in the second quarter when we were driving downfield, and then we got a first down inside the 20, and with 7 minutes left, and then there was a media timeout. And, you know, it really broke the momentum. It gave the defense time to catch their breath. The guys were literally, like, hands on hips. We could have, you know, bowled over them, and it completely broke the momentum, and then we missed the field goal, and it was really, you know, if we had lost that game, I feel like we would have been obsessing about that moment. And I feel like broadcast television, you know, doesn't take a media timeout inside the red zone. So that's my comment.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Claire. I agree. We definitely, the Bills lose that game. I think most of us are looking at the missed field goal. It felt like, in that moment, first and foremost, to get stopped down there, you know, whether the timeout played a part in them losing a little bit of momentum on that drive. But that was sort of the start of them struggling to run the football on first down. They get stopped on that drive. I didn't particularly love the play calls inside the red zone. They stall out and, you know, Prater misses that field goal. Up to that point, Prater had been really good. I mean, money, essentially, for the Bills before that kick. And then obviously hits the game winner tonight as well. But yeah, no, I do agree. We're probably looking at that as the turning point of the game if the Bills don't figure out a way. If Zach Sealer doesn't rough the kicker, two special teams plays, I do think, end up sort of being the difference. One goes against the Bills. I think the other one had a bigger impact in the game, goes for the Bills in a big, big roughing the kicker penalty. I thought it was a huge turning point in the game. Let's go to Lou. Thanks for the call, Claire. Lou, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Yeah, and so I'm a little bit annoyed. I mean, they're letting James cook. When will they let Josh Allen cook? They're preferring a running back, a pretty damn good back, over, like, an exceptionally talented quarterback that's going to blow teams away with his passing. Like, it's really aggravating. I don't like their philosophy at all. And that's why Miami was in this game. And they're going to keep other teams in the game by being run-centric.
I don't think it's necessarily run-centric, Lou. I mean, James Cook averaged almost 6 yards a carry tonight. I think the issues that you're talking about and running the football with James Cook are not mutually exclusive. I think you can run the football with the volume and the effectiveness that the Bills did tonight and moving forward, and like they did last week against the New York Jets. I think where I have some problems and what you're talking about is that there's a lack of the down the field stuff, unless it's a 2-minute warning and, you know, inside 2 minutes and they're on a 2-minute drill, or like they're down by 15 a week ago or 2 weeks ago to the Baltimore Ravens and now they're throwing the football down the field. I mean, Josh had 251 yards in the fourth quarter last in week one, and he had 213 yards all night tonight. I think that there's something to be said about having two attempts in this game over 10 yards. And to me, I don't think the running game and what they did or didn't do in the passing game are mutually exclusive to me. That's just my thoughts, Lou.
Well, those are well-founded, well-reasoned thoughts. But I look at it more basic. They're basically taking the ball away from Allen and forcing him to make plays after their runs don't work. They're limiting his opportunities to make first downs.
I mean, yes and no, Lou. And listen, thank you for the call. They scored 31 points. They stalled a couple of drives early in the second half. They turned it on later in the game. To me, I'm not going to put up a stink. The team as a whole averaged 5.8 yards per carry in this game. James Cook is probably right now one of the best running backs in football. I don't really think the argument here is that they should be not giving the ball to James Cook as much as they are. I don't think that's the right argument. I think the argument is how you can have a quarterback like Josh Allen operating a dink and dunk Trent Edwards offense. I mean, that's to me the frustrating part is they need, and frankly, I think a big reason they were struggling running the football in the second half was they weren't running enough play action and they weren't really effectively forcing the defense to think about a shot over the top. So I'll go back, I'll watch the game, you know, probably tomorrow, and kind of figure out, you know, it was just the two deep shell. Was it the Dolphins just not wanting anything to get beat over the top that they just continued to dink and dunk, or were they not really trying? To me, Josh Palmer is their best deep guy, and he had one target in this game, and he had one catch for 5 yards. He's got to be, like, where are your smash concepts? Where are your, you know, deep corner routes? Where are your post routes down the middle of the field, your deep comebacks, over the middle stuff? So for me, to me, it's just a little too much dink and dunk, too much short passing game. And at times, under Joe Brady, they've fallen into that sometimes, into this almost, hey, we really want to control the clock and keep the ball away from the other team. And I can get it when your defense is not maybe playing at its best against this Miami Dolphins offense, which at times can be explosive. But I just, to me, it's the short passing game and being overly reliant and not using at least the threat of a deep shot, the threat of a down-the-field play. To me, that was the frustrating part about the offense, not how much they hand the ball off to James Cook. I think James Cook right now is turning into the three-down back that he's been paid for. I mean, one of the biggest arguments against paying James Cook is that he doesn't see the field as much as other premier, you know, featured running backs in the league. He is now. Through the first 3 weeks of the year, they are treating him like a running back one, and he's earned it, and he's performed. So, yeah, I'm not going to buy into they need to give the ball less to James Cook and just have Josh Allen drop back 50 times a game. That's not what has made this offense, you know, I think basically the best, most successful offense since 2020. They're averaging 29 points a game over the last five seasons. That's pretty unheard of across the NFL for that long of a span. So you're watching what's happening in Kansas City right now. One of their biggest issues, outside of having a ton of injuries at the wide receiver position, they can't run the football. And because they can't run the football, they're having trouble with a wide receiving group that is beat up, no doubt, and they're not separating. But they'd have better success in play action. They'd have better success in the pass game if they had any level of a semblance of a productive run game. The Bills do, and it's why their offense runs the way it does. So, yeah, again, I think to me the issue is the short passing game and the lack or willingness, the lack of willingness to press the ball down the field with, to me, the best arm in football. So those are some of the things that I'm maybe looking at in this game. Not, again, the volume of carries or touches that James Cook is getting. Let's take a timeout. We got more breaks to get to on the other side. We'll continue taking your calls at 803-0550 and get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. More on the Bills' 31-21 victory on the other side. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Radio Network. Sports Update.
About the grit, the mental toughness of the football team was on display throughout the game, particularly in the fourth quarter there.
A tight contest, but 3-0 is 3-0 for the Buffalo Bills as they emerged victorious over the Miami Dolphins 31-21. Josh Allen 22 of 28 for 213 yards and three touchdowns in the air. James Cook leading the way on the ground with 19 carries, 108 yards, and a score of his own. Dalton Kincaid leading the Bills in receiving in this game. Five receptions, 66 yards, and a touchdown. The Bills' defense was tested, struggling even on third down. Miami 10 of 15 on third down tonight. However, the Bills win the turnover battle once again for the 25th straight game, thanks to an interception courtesy of Terrell Bernard.
Back to pass, fires, it's intercepted! Picked off by Terrell Bernard! Coming the other way and out of bounds at the 40-yard line!
What's next for the Bills? Some extended time off before they host the New Orleans Saints on Sunday, September 28th. The Saints will play against the Seattle Seahawks this weekend, trying to win their first game of the year. Scores from around the league delivered by the UPS store, Be Unstoppable. I'm Derek Kramer for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. With a look at traffic leaving Highmark Stadium, here's more from Trevor Hauer.
Derek, thank you. We are still seeing some very slow-moving traffic heading both ways on some of the surrounding roads leaving the stadium, including Big Tree Road. That is where we are seeing our strongest congestion. California Road, as well as Southwestern Boulevard. Abbott Road is still closed northbound and southbound from Route 20 to Route 20A. We are also seeing some stronger delays around the 219 North at Mile Strip Road spilling into the 90 East, just going past exit 55 at Ridge Road. And also keep in mind that Route 20A West is also closed from Route 219 to Abbott Road. Your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Score big with new Chevys and quality pre-owned vehicles from Paddock Chevrolet. I'm Trevor Hauer on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Honestly, something that we have seen on tape, it's a common route around the league. But, you know, I want to give a shout-out to Al Holcomb, the linebacker's coach. He put it on tape a few times. You know, we've worked that play, our offense runs that play. And, you know, he basically told me, like, if I see it, go.
Welcome back to Buffalo Bills postgame. I'm Nate Geary. That was Bills captain and linebacker Terrell Bernard. The Bills get their 31-21 victory over their division foe, the Miami Dolphins. And let's get an eye on the quarterback, which is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. And Josh Allen again finishing the game 22 of 28, just 213 yards. Both quarterbacks in this game, 22 completions for Josh, 23 for Tua. Tua had 161 yards. Josh ended up over 200 and three touchdowns and a passer rating of 134.1, but not a ton of yards considering the attempts in this game, 28 for Josh, and then 22 completions. So not much down the field, a lot of checkdowns in this game. And there's your eye on the quarterback. Again, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Before we get to the locker room, let's get connected with our fans once again. And it's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Charlie's been waiting patiently. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, you're on postgame. Good evening.
Hey, Nate. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was a little disappointed with the defense. Of course, I got the old lady yelling at me about trying to call. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts and hang up and listen. Do you guys think Alexander Gorgiev will get the Sabres over the hump? Thanks.
Sure he will. Thanks for the call. Let's go to David. David, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Was at the game tonight. I was listening to what you were saying about Josh Palmer there. How do you think we get him more involved in the game with the long-distance threat, or do you see him more a part of the offense in the future?
Yeah, David, thanks for the call. I think he's their best separator. So those, you know, and listen, Josh Palmer aside, I know that's who you just called about. I do have to say this is probably the best start of the season we've had and we've seen from Dalton Kincaid. I've been sort of raving and very, I would say, impressed by the blocking, the willingness, and then I think the execution from Dalton Kincaid as a blocker. And I think his willingness to get dirty, to get in the run game, but also blocking in the pass game down the field for wide receivers. He made, I think, the block that freed up Dalton Khalil Shakir on his touchdown. So his development, he's having, I think, a very strong start to the season. I'd like to see him stay healthy and maybe be their number one or number two target in this offense. And, you know, Keon's making some plays out there, probably has to make that catch on the back shoulder throw. I'd like to see him make that catch. But all in all, I think Josh Palmer's role is he's going to be the guy that takes the top off the defense. And I really liked him. Like, I think the optimal play, the quintessential play you're going to see from Josh Palmer was that corner route, the smash concept you saw against the Ravens late in the game. He makes the catch. I mean, unbelievable throw by Josh. And Palmer gets out of bounds. Like, that to me, that's Palmer's role. And them not really having a target over 20 yards, only two over 10, to me, that's just not going to get it done most nights for the Bills. All right, let's get to the locker room. Let's hear from Bills running back James Cook. And it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
Recognition that you deserve as one of the best players in the league at your position. And he said, quite frankly, he does not think that you do, but also that that doesn't really matter to you. You know, the end result is what matters to you. How do you feel about that?
Just put my head down and keep grinding. You know, I don't care about none of that. You know, I just focus on myself and do what I got to do to help my team win games.
You walk out in that field and you can see the names up there: O.J. Simpson, Cookie Gilchrist, Thurman Thomas. To have records with those guys, what does that mean to you?
Nothing. You know, the ultimate goal is to win games and help the team win a Super Bowl and keep going.
Your snap counts are up this year. How much does that help you just being in the game constantly, kind of staying warm rather than stop and start?
I mean, I'm doing what I got to do regardless to help the team, you know, disregard the snap counts and how much I play. I don't look at those type of things. I just go out there and just play my game and focus on what I got to do to help this team win, like I said.
What was going right for the
running game today? The O-line, you know, they block very good. That's why they one of the top O-linemen in the NFL, and they show it each and every week.
What went wrong in the third quarter? That kind of slowed you down for the run game?
No, nothing. You know, it's all on us. We got to do what we got to do to, you know, create lanes, the opening up. And, you know, it's just on me, too. I got to take one of them to the crib at least. But, you know, it's football. And, you know, it's,
can you describe what your body feels like after two NFL games?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
4 days.
I'm great.
I have a question for him.
All right, that is Bills running back James Cook following the game, and that locker room sound is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to hear from Deion Walker, who turns out on that interception, seeing some video on Twitter, actually gets a little piece of the ball, which I think probably puts it right in the breadbasket of Terrell Bernard. I thought when it happened that he had made the play that helped him. He's just so big, gets in the passing lane, and Tua kind of has to. I don't think Tua saw Terrell Bernard because Deion Walker was there, and then he also is the guy that you know, gets a hand on the ball and makes a play at the end of the game. So big play there at the end of the game from the rookie defensive tackle. We'll hear from him on the other side. We'll get more reaction, of course, from the fans at 803-0550 on the other side. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
hands off to Cook, who goes into the end zone almost untouched for a 2-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen.
All right, welcome back. Buffalo Bills postgame here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. If you follow me on Twitter or listen to any of the shows that I'm on, you know I love to get after Dolphins fans. And you know what? I feel bad tonight because they were really played their hearts out, kind of lost in a heartbreaking fashion. My very good friend, Brett Cawthorn, he's a huge Dolphins fan. I'm sure he's in a car with his wife, Amelia, leaving the game, his once-a-year Bills game against the Dolphins. He goes to every one of them. He texted me tonight, and he said, "You can tell the world I'm officially out on Tua." And that is the, I would call him a Tua apologist. Like, Tua could throw three interceptions and he'd be like, "Yeah, well, you know, the defender's hands, they're really good. Like, they can catch the ball better than normal defenders." So, you know, for him tonight, I'm sure, I don't want to twist the knife too hard. Their season's over. They're 0-3. They're not doing anything. Probably going to fire their coach soon. I don't think they lost by enough for them to fire their coach tonight. But, yeah, Dolphins fans, got to be tough, you know. Again, though, it was weird for me because it was the most subdued. It was like the dog that's really old that knows he's going to the vet for the last time. And, like, you know, you feed him the chicken. He gets a full rotisserie chicken. And he's like, "Well, why are you guys treating me like this?" Tua's out there saying, "Josh, oh, my God, he's so amazing. He can do everything. I can't do half the stuff that Josh does." And it was like, yeah, you know, we know, but you're not supposed to say that, Tua. Like, you're not supposed to say that. So, yeah, this was like, you know, the family bringing the dog to the vet for the last time before everyone says goodbye. It's sort of what this game felt like from at least my perspective. Let's go back to the phones, get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Alex, who's been waiting patiently. Thanks for your patience, Alex, and good evening to you on the postgame show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I have sort of the same concerns about, like, the lack of deep ball, but I got to say, like, I'm turning a corner a bit, winning, like, against the Jets and the Dolphins in the same week. I thought they looked really prepared. And I wanted to ask your, like, pick your brain about how we looked in the short yardage to convert, which was a problem in the AFC Championship. But I really like the Elijah Moore sweep, which we've seen before. And then that quick strike to Coleman. Like, that's kind of the stuff that I wish they had opened up in the past that has kind of really hurt us, the lack of that. And it seems like it's been really effective in these 3 weeks. And I, you know, obviously it's a long season. You know, we'll see if that works in the playoffs. But I wanted to know if you saw kind of the same thing there.
Yeah, I did. Thanks for the call, Alex. And you're right. I mean, I do like Elijah Moore quite a bit in this offense. Unfortunately, he is kind of what I thought we were getting from Curtis Samuel. It has not come to fruition with Curtis Samuel. And he's getting paid significantly more than Elijah Moore, but they're getting better production. The sweeps are there. He obviously made that big play on 2nd and 18 or 2nd and 17. That essentially sealed the deal. So big play there from Elijah Moore. And I know the play you're talking about, the Keon Coleman first down on like 3rd and 1 from the 5-yard line. If you remember, it was almost like the exact play last year that Jalen Ramsey had that interception against this Dolphins team. It goes right off of Coleman's hands into the waiting arms of Jalen Ramsey. Listen, this offense is still a work in progress. It's still early in the season, but they do need to mix in more down the field shots. 2nd and 1, there's nothing more infuriating. Not a ton of examples of it tonight, but like 2nd and 1 and they're turning around and handing the ball off instead of taking a shot down the field when you have Josh Allen who can get 1 yard just in his sleep. I think they need to start more of those shots down the field under center, play action and take a shot or two. But yeah, tonight I wanted to see more from Josh Palmer in the deep passing game, as he to me is their best separator. 803-0550. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're going to go to the locker room, hear from Bills defensive tackle, rookie defensive tackle, Deion Walker. He made to me, you know, right with Terrell Bernard, the play of the game tonight, tipping that Tua Tagovailoa ball that landed right in the hands of Terrell Bernard that effectively sealed the deal for the Bills. Of course, the Bills had to get a couple of first downs, which they did to seal the game, and then kicks the game-winning, or the game, you know, ceiling field goal, I should say, by Matt Prater. So here's Bills defensive tackle Deion Walker. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
How much does that help? What does that mean to you, having that here?
I feel like it helps so much because, you know, rookies, we hit the rookie wall. We have frustrations because this is our first time doing it, you know. So I'm very thankful that I got so many good vets in my room and on this team in general.
What does it mean that this team, you guys made the big play at the end of the interception. They had the big mistake with the roughing play. What is it about this team that allows them to make these plays? I mean, we've seen it before, but you're seeing it for the first time. What would you assess that's the reason that you guys made that play and they didn't?
I say grit, discipline, you know, just never giving up. You know, we could be down 100 points. We still going to fight till the end, you know. And I feel like everybody on this team has locked in so much into, you know, just put so much emphasis onto that this team is all full of brothers, you know, one band, one sound.
Deion, next thing, during the third quarter, they tried to go heavy on you and really try to power run you guys. Teams are going to try and do that. How much of a challenge is that for you guys to take that personally?
You know, it's a big challenge, you know. Trying to stop 2-3 running backs that's rotating in and in and in, and, you know, we wear down, we get tired. Wear and tear is a real thing. So just, you know, anchoring down, like not being in – like being in the environment, but not of the environment.
You know, Terrell's a captain on this team, but not only by his words, but by his actions. Again, another big play. How big is it for this guy as the leader of this group to make the big play?
I feel like it's great. You know, we had a emphasis on takeaways, you know, and that was the perfect time to get one. TB, he's such a great leader, a great captain. You know, I can go talk to him about anything. And tell him I said thank you, or tell him to tell me thank you. Why that was my pressure.
All right.
I want to ask him about that.
All right, that is Bills rookie defensive tackle Deion Walker. And Terrell Bernard absolutely should say thank you. He ended up being the reason that ball fell right into Terrell Bernard's hands. All right, timeout on their side. We got one more break coming up here. If you want to get your call in at 803-0550, we'll get a couple more in. Of course, locally, once our post-game show here ends on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, our local flagship WGR Sports Radio 550, we will have Derek and Zach in the overtime show. So if you didn't get your call in now, you still got time. They'll be on until at least 2 a.m. tonight here on, again, our local flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. More of the Buffalo Bills postgame show coming up next. The Bills win 31-21 over the Miami Dolphins. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
The screen pass is here. Has a blocker in front, racing to the end zone, and he's in. It's a 15-yard screen pass for a touchdown as Shakir got great blocking downfield, got up the sideline and into the end zone. And the Bills have the lead back again.
Chris Brown on the call, and that lead would stand. The Bills win 31-21. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame. I'm Nate Keery. And again, the Bills win 31-21. They advance to 3-0 this season. The Dolphins fall to 0-3, including 10 straight losses to teams with a winning record. Here's a great stat. Since Mike McDaniel took over in 2022, the Dolphins are 3-14 against teams that entered the game with a winning record, compared to 25-12 against teams entering the game 500 or worse. The Dolphins have lost 8 straight, not 10 straight games, against teams that entered the game with a winning record, tying their longest streak in such games since 2006 to 2008. That's not going to get it done. I'm going to have to say it's not going to get it done. Let's get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today and your official 5G partner, the Buffalo Bills, and go to Joey. Joey, you're on the post game. Good evening.
Nate Gary, how are you, sir?
Good, buddy.
Hey, obviously I'm not going to take up too much of your time. However, I just want to say real quick, there was a lot of people who were overconfident with this game.
And agreed.
I people like, it's going to be very close. Because every time you play Miami, no matter if it's Skylar Thompson in the playoffs or Tua, turn the ball over, whatever you want to say, it's always close. It always comes down to 3 to 7 to 10 points with that. What I will say is, I don't know. I know you played football for years, and I played football for years as well. I have 2 points. After I ask you this question, can I stay on the line and ask you another one?
Sure.
Okay. Do you think Joe Brady is holding some plays in his bag for certain opponents that are coming up later in the season?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. And I saw that tonight. I thought tonight our offense was very, I don't want to say vanilla.
On a short week, too. Like, I would assume the install probably was one of their more simpler installs. Like, you're not gonna have your full playbook out tonight. I think, like, especially in the run game, they really kind of leaned into like two or three run plays. That was really it to me. So I think it was a little of, it's still early in the season, you're not gonna pull everything out of the playbook, but also the opponent, especially the opponent being a divisional opponent, like you're not pulling out all the stops in the first game against a divisional opponent.
Correct. And thank you so much for having me on. And I'm not complaining, but I did try to call for like an hour. You know what I mean? And that's what I wanted to say. I love Bills fans. You know, they just want to like put in their input, and that's so cool. And I got to give you props too, because sometimes, you know, certain callers call in, and I'm not saying anything about anybody, but you know, I love Buffalo. I love the Bills. You know, like this is the last season at the Ralph. Okay, and Josh Allen. And real quick, please don't laugh at me. 2 years ago, Josh Allen was the cover athlete on Madden. I've been playing Madden since I was a child, like Madden 93. So it was cool to see him. And then the next year, he's an MVP. I honestly believe that we're just somehow going to get it done. We're going to host the AFC Championship here. That's not what I wanted to say. Real quick, Deion Walker, number 96. I'm not comparing him to Josh Allen, but there's three things you can't teach, and it's size, speed, and strength, okay? This dude, if he develops well, he is going to be a monster in the next two seasons. He is 6'7", 345 pounds, but he doesn't play like a nose tackle.
That's a fact.
I don't know. Honestly, he is my favorite pick in the draft, and I am so happy that we drafted him. All I want to say is, go Bills, and I love Buffalo, and I can't wait for the new stadium. Go Bills.
Thanks, Joey. Appreciate the call, buddy. Yeah, giant human, man-eater, no doubt. I mean, just a giant, giant human being. All right, let's go to the locker room. We're going to hear from Bills rookie tight end Jackson Hawes, who met with the media after tonight's 31-21 victory. And, of course, it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
All right, Jackson, take us through the touchdown play.
Yeah, I mean, we called it. I kind of blanked a little bit because it was a short week, and you know, we just kind of installed a whole bunch of new plays, and we called the timeout, and then went back out there, slipped a little bit. Felt good though, and Josh just being Josh and getting the ball.
Most people play it out in their head what they're going to do when they score their first touchdown in the NFL. Did you envision it, and did it go your way afterwards? What'd you do?
I knew I had that play in, so I was kind of planning something, but in the moment, like, everything just, like my mind was just, I don't even know where I was. It was just, this is amazing, and I just thought to go with the spike, so, yeah.
It looked like you blocked your guy to the ground on that play, too, before you got out there.
I did give him a good little pop, yeah, give him a good little pop.
When Josh is running toward you, do you know that the ball's coming to you? I mean, it looked like he may have had a lane to run, and then he flips it at the last kind of second there.
I mean, he's the MVP, man. He's the greatest player in the world, so anything can happen with him. You just got to be ready.
As a young player, what's the process like of learning how to play with a guy like Josh who extends plays and throws shovel passes for touchdowns? How do you learn how to be prepared like that?
I think it's just little things like that. You know, we go through these walkthroughs where we're kind of, you know, they're slower, a little bit slow pace, but he's kind of, he'll be messing around and give you a little no looker every now and then with the ball. And so really it's just kind of getting you ready for the games. Yeah.
Two touchdowns by tight ends tonight. How much stress does it put on a defense to know that you guys can bring three really at them?
Yeah. I mean, us three and Reggie at fullback, you know, we're a legitimate like four-headed snake. I mean, we have got a lot of guys that do a lot of good stuff, and we're coached well and get the job done.
All right, there's Bills rookie tight end Jackson Hawes. He's not kidding. The tight end room, and listen, I was a big Quinton Morris fan. I was disappointed to see the Bills not bring Quinton Morris back. I thought he was just a great special teams guy. And when they needed him to step in, when Dawson Knox had injuries, he stepped in and I thought he did a great job. And so far their fifth round pick, in Jackson Hawes has been a home run. He's been, to me, he's given them more than I ever thought he could. It's three games. He's got like three catches. But he's given them more in the pass game than I ever really thought he could coming out. And if he was only going to be the blocker that he's been, it would have been worth the pick. But the additional offense he's brought has been a really pleasant surprise. And I think he's really rounding out that room quite a bit. And less, it's not to say that less of Alec Anderson's some kind of great thing. But they are more difficult to defend in that 13 personnel. The big personnel when it's Jackson Hawes and he's got the threat of being able to go out and catch a pass as well. So that's going to do it for me back here in our Amherst studios for Buffalo Bills postgame on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network and along our Buffalo Bills Radio Network locally. So don't go anywhere if you're still hanging out in the parking lots. Want to get your calls in to Derek and Zach here on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550 for the overtime show. They'll be taking over next. But for me, for TJ Luckman, we appreciate you listening to the Buffalo Bills postgame show. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.